Coming to you from our studios in Dallas, Texas, and recorded live, Science News is on the air right now.
This is the promise of tomorrow, where people and industry keep up with the business of emerging and nanotechnologies. The fields covered in this series of programs will include energy, defense, aerospace, medicine, semiconductors, and more. For the next hour, Colonel Mason will introduce his experts, and you'll be on the cutting edge of the promise of tomorrow.
And it's so wonderful to have you back with us again here in the World Studio of the Science News Radio Network as we explore the exciting world of the business of emerging science, nanotechnology, open innovation. Today, in the first half hour, we're going to hear from Shadi A. Guler. Now, Dr. Guler is the founding CTO and president of IntuVision. IntuVision's real-time video event detection and forensic video investigation technologies have received top ranks in government and organization evaluations, deployed with the Department of Defense and Commercial Systems, and Shadi A. is going to explain to us how it works. Then Dr. Gerhard Klimek, professor of electrical and computer engineering at Purdue University, is going to be back with us again today to bring us up to date on where we left off with him last week on the nanohub.org tool that we can find when we get online. Fascinating, fascinating stuff. And, of course, we're going to visit the Den of Strangers, get more wisdom from somebody a lot of us never heard of, visit our fountain of useless information we have here on the set. That's in the second half of the program. And, of course, at the end of the program, listener comments and the voice of reason. And we've got a lot to cover today, and so we need to step over here into our very busy newsroom to see what's going on in the world, and let's see what reporters are reporting in for us. Okay, if you follow these things, you know we have some massive sunspot activity this past February and March, even last week. But Lewis Page of the Register reports that Earth may be headed into a mini ice age within a decade. Well, that's interesting. What may be the science story of the century broke last week as heavyweight U.S. solar physicists announced that the sun appears to be headed into a lengthy spell of low activity. And that could mean the Earth, far from facing a global warming problem, is actually headed into a mini ice age. The announcement was made on the 14th of June. It comes from scientists at the United Nations. I'm sorry, I put that wrong here. I'm reading this wrong. The United States National Solar Observatory and the United States Air Force Research Laboratory. Three different analyses of the sun's recent behavior all indicate that a period of unusually low solar activity may be about to begin. Well, this is could have major implications for the Earth's climate, according to the United States National Solar Observatory, because they say an immediate question is whether the slowdown presages a second 70-year period with virtually no sunspots. That occurred during 1645 to 1715. I'm sure you remember that. But at that time, any European rivers, which are ice-free today, including the Thames, routinely froze over, allowing ice skating, and even for armies to march across them in some areas. This is highly unusual and unexpected, says Dr. Frank Hill of the NSO, but the fact that three completely different views of the sun point in the same direction is a powerful indicator that the sunspot cycle may be going into hibernation, close quote. It's not unusual to have the Navy arguing with the Air Force. Incidentally, other experts were skeptical about whether the latest data actually predicts a long-term solar minimum. Yai Ming Wang of the Naval Research Observatory says there's no compelling reason to think that the sun is about to go into hibernation. And he said, on the other hand, we don't understand the solar dynamo well enough to make any reliable predictions. Here's a story reporting in from Christopher Booker, the Sunday Telegraph. He reports that Britain's leading chemical firms have warned that the proposed UK carbon floor tax, unique, incidentally, in the world to that area, will make that industry so uncompetitive that unless the policy is changed, it's going to lead to inevitably to mass plant closures and job losses. Similarly, the European Metals Association has warned that the EU's various anti-carbon policies are becoming so costly that they're already forcing steel, aluminum, and other producers in their energy-intensive industries to relocate outside Europe, losing hundreds of thousands more jobs. Here's something interesting from Intel. Our cell phones may be radio receivers soon. Eric Rhodes of Radio Inc. reports in the plan to get cell phone providers to open up to the idea of happily promoting FM radio chips in phones just took a positive turn for the radio industry. Well, you know, two stumbling blocks radio has run into are the high cost of the chip, as well as the fact that the carriers could really, you know, care less about the FM chip. But Cyport is a company that develops high-definition radio chips, and they were just purchased by Intel, which many believe gives the FM chip movement some real clout now, and they've developed a chip that only costs $2, a price that radio executives hope convinces the carriers to let radio in. Okay, well, I guess that's enough of that. Right now, let's step out of our very noisy newsroom here and step back into our quieter studio, because I'm really excited about today's guest, and we want to hear more about what the IntuVision is doing. So let's get her on the line.
Stand by.
Right now, we have a very interesting and exciting guest today. We have Shadi A. Guler. She is Dr. Guler is the founder and the CTO, president of IntuVision, and she's the principal investigator on several U.S. government-funded video content analysis efforts, and we're going to learn all about a fascinating subject called video analytics. Welcome to the program, Shadi A.
Hi, good to be here.
Now, tell us, you know, video analytics. Now, you know, this conjures up a whole lot of different things in a person's mind. Explain to us exactly what we're talking about. What is video analytics?
In a nutshell, video analytics is a branch of computer vision that deals with analyzing and understanding, extracting the content of video, whether it's real-time streaming video or archived video files. If it works as intended, video analytics engines should be able to tell the user what is in this clip without the user having to look at the video itself. They should get what they want out of it, such as if a security camera looking out of the side of a building and monitoring people entering and exiting a building, and if the camera sees people gathering in front of the front door and lets the users know that there is something unusual going on without the users having to look at this at all, they now have a warning that comes from this video analytics engine to them.
Okay, so what I'm to understand then is you don't have to have a real person actually sitting down there and looking at the video hour after hour after hour after hour. If something that that somebody needs to be alerted about, some sort of danger or something like that, the video analytics will do it on their own and then let the operators know. Is that what we're talking about?
Exactly. It doesn't have to replace the person. It's meant to be helping the security personnel. Security personnel in a typical back room with all the video monitors, if you've seen any of those rooms, at any given time, they have to look at five, six different monitors with lots of video circling through, going through the entire inventory of cameras around a large facility. The person will get glossy-eyed pretty soon looking at the video cameras of pretty much not much exciting stuff going on time after time, and they would be more likely to miss something unusual, that something needed to be noticed in the midst of these several monitors. Video analytics will hopefully catch those things and put out warnings and alerts such that the security personnel is alerted to look at and put their attention, you know, where they need to.
All right, well, now these the video analytics, I guess you program them to look for something something suspicious, like, say, a gathering of a crowd or somebody leaving a package someplace where they oughtn't to do it, maybe in a train station or something like that, or some other thing. You tell the software what it is that you're looking for, or is there a standard template that you plug in and use with this?
Both are true. So basically, similar to any still image analysis task, first you teach your system how to recognize certain things, how to detect and recognize people, vehicles, bags and boxes, other objects of interest for any given scene. Faces, scene text, etc. And then you either train the system to learn what is normal for a given scene and to alert you when things outside of that normal, learned normal happen. Or you can also teach rules and templates as to describe an event that is of interest to you. And in either case, the system will detect and track the moving objects, whether they're people and vehicles and animals and what have you, and establish a motion track, motion history for them. So a person with their motion track next to another object, such as a vehicle, with their motion history, might then mean something in that context that you want to alert the users to pay attention to this scene.
Okay, so that's IntuVision's specialty then in the video analytics arena, and that of course leads me to the question about let's say that there's a fugitive and the FBI is worried that the fugitive is going to make it out of town on an airplane or a train or a bus station or something like that. Can a photo of this particular person be fed into the video analytics equipment to tip somebody off if that person is picked out in the crowd?
Well, close enough. Not so much the photo of the person, but some description will be helpful, depending on where the video cameras are and what they see. If you are looking for a male between the ages of 25 and 35, for example, and if your surveillance cameras are able to capture face images of people going through an entrance to a bus terminal, let's say, you might be able to identify male faces that fall into relatively young age group. This is not to say to exactly pinpoint that person, but at least it filters out a whole lot of people who are not of the right gender and maybe even right ethnicity and right age group.
All right.
Things are not 100% yet, but there's a lot of work and there's a lot of promising early results and early systems that help us move in that direction.
Okay, you've been doing a lot of things in security, and I understand you're pretty highly appreciated in the security industry, but you're also branching out now into commercial uses, too, as I understand. And can you tell me how this is going to be, what your video analytics and things that you're doing is going to be useful to, let's say, department stores and mass marketers and that sort of thing?
Video analytics in general is used both in defense and commercial applications. For us, at least at this point, more of our work is with government R&D, but we are also making strides into commercial market. In commercial arena, these technologies, again, used for safety and security purposes. In addition, in the recent years, other applications also became popular, such as business intelligence applications. How do people move through? What are the traffic flow rates and the number of people that come through a store, go to a certain aisle, for example? Are all results, statistical results that are collected through video analytics processes that can help the store owners to maybe better place their merchandise and collect statistics on people's movements and wait times in certain areas and flow rates from certain areas, including cash registers of the stores. So this is another application that has also gained a lot of popularity in the recent years.
And what about discerning, let's say, a man from a from a woman, or let's say picking out somebody of Asian descent from somebody of, let's say, Caucasian or Hispanic or something like that? Is your stuff any good at that?
We have completed a recent small business innovation research project where we prototype algorithms for detecting faces of people from surveillance video, and I would like to make a little explanation here. Detecting a face is different than recognizing a face. People are familiar with face recognition applications where you require high-resolution pictures of subject faces, and you compare these against a known database to positively identify a person, therefore recognize a face. Face detection is can be considered as one level less than that, where you have a face, you know you see a face, but there isn't enough information for a computer algorithm to recognize and positively identify the face. But there might be enough information for classifying that face into gender, ethnicity, and even age groups. And that's what we worked on recently and included this in our product offering as well. Basically, based on the face detected faces from surveillance video, one can classify them as male, female, or in age group, younger, middle-aged, elderly, or even ethnicities if there are enough samples to train models with different ethnicities. In our project, we tried three ethnicity groups as Asian, Caucasian, and African-American, and got pretty promising results. Something like this might be very helpful in commercial arena, as you can guess, to collect statistics on the demographics of the customers. The female customers spend time in this part of the store, and where do they spend most of their time? And does this differ from different age between different age groups or even ethnicity groups? And this might be valuable marketing information.
Well, recently, I understand you became a partner with NVIDIA Solutions, the general purpose graphics processing people, the graphics cards people. Can you tell us about that?
Yes, actually, we have started working with NVIDIA. NVIDIA is one of the largest providers of computer graphics hardware. Very well known among the gaming industry and people who play and build computers for gaming. Mm-hmm. Basically, what a graphics processing unit is, a processor, much like the CPU of your computer, which handles all the computing facility, but they are smaller, cheaper, and less capable processors. They're responsible for graphics operations, that is to quickly display things on your computer's display. And if you're, for example, playing a lot of video, you notice with a better graphics card, you would get smoother and better looking images on your laptop or computer display. So what we do, we take advantage of these graphics processors that are most of the time are not utilized to their capacity in a given computer.
Mm-hmm.
We offload the parallel processing algorithms of video analytics processing onto these graphics processing units. That way we get more mileage out of the same computer hardware and process video at real-time speeds even on ordinary hardwares and ordinary computers process high-definition video at real-time speeds. So this makes the whole video analytics more affordable and more available for lots of applications outside the high-end safety and security applications.
So it isn't just for government and big industry anymore, but you're squeezing a lot more processing power out of ordinary computer hardware, and you're making video analytics very affordable for anybody who needs video analytics. I mean, it could be home surveillance, could be any number of other things, and your stuff is available and ready to go at affordable prices right now, I guess.
Definitely, that's the case. Home use is an up-and-coming area for video analytics, and we're also looking at other applications. Again, we have a small business innovation grant from NSF that we're investigating the application of video analytics technology to analyzing classroom videos. And the application here is to look at the video of a classroom where teaching and learning is happening and identify key indicators of teaching styles and curriculum highlights and student responses to certain behaviors and certain ways of soliciting student interest, and trying to collect this data and present it in a form to educators where they can see how some techniques are working better than others or what are the points to pay attention to. And this whole thing is to make the teaching and learning process to take the complexity out of teaching and learning process and try to analyze it as much as possible so the teachers can follow better techniques and students can benefit more from the classroom activities.
I'm a little vague on this. I mean, right now we could put up a camera in any classroom and shoot the audience and shoot the teacher and go back and say, gee whiz, how's the presentation coming along? But your video analytics then actually discerns how much the students are absorbing by the way that the instructor is giving the information? Is that what I'm to understand? Oh, okay, but wait a minute before you answer that. We're going to have to break at the half hour, and I kind of want a detailed answer because it sounds pretty fascinating to me. Cameras in the classrooms and how it helps with learning and discerning different things from the students. So if you will hold that thought, we're going to take a break at the half hour, and when we come back, I want to pick up on that very thing. We'll check in with the fountain of useless information and then get right back to this question. Thanks a bunch. Okay, as we walk to the break at the half hour, we're going to pause at the door of the Den of Strangers, where we keep locked away all of the wisdom of mankind. In the Den of Strangers will we meet today?
Kipling here, yes, Rudyard Kipling here. If you can walk with crowds and keep your virtue, or talk with kings nor lose the common touch, if neither foes nor loving friends can hurt you, and if all men count with you but none too much, if you can fill the unforgiving minute with 60 seconds worth of distance run, Oh, yours is the world and everything that's in it. And, oh, well, what is more, you'll be a man, my son.